Hello, and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the 1980 Dungeons & Dragons Deities and Demigods supplement. And as I do, I'm talking about the deities I find therein. But this is a special episode of Patron Deities. Normally in the show at this point, we're working our way through Norse mythology, but that's not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is a bonus episode, and it's sort of an apology. Normally, I try to get the bonus episodes out on Wednesdays, and I had intended for this week that I was going to release a My Favorite Monster, which is the show where I interview game creators and we talk about monsters, but I just haven't had time to do the editing, which is a little more complex on a My Favorite Monster because I'm editing together two recordings. And that's because I'm working on a big project that hopefully I'll be able to announce on the show at some point, and I'm really excited about it, but it's taking up a lot of time. So instead, I'm going to release this short bonus episode, and this is available to all my patrons, not just people who subscribed at the $2 level or above. This episode was suggested by Patreon supporter Robert Gordon, who said that I should do the non-human deities to match up with the episodes where the corresponding monster race was released. Now, it's a good idea, but unfortunately, by the time it came in, I had already done a bunch of these monsters. So I'm going to take this opportunity because we just did the main series Monster Man episode about orcs. So I thought I'd take the time to talk about the orc deity in the Deities and Demigods book and to compare him to one of the other non-human deities. So let's take a look. So the section on non-human deities does state that these are examples of the pantheons of non-human species, whether that's elves or dwarves or orcs or Kuotoa or whatever. There are no Kuotoa in this book, are there? Sahuagin. And it says that these are only representatives, right? They're the more complex pantheons, and we'll see that when we look at one of today's examples. Because, you know, each of these species has its own religions. That seems a little strange, right? Like, I guess it sort of depends on how you view non-human races in your D&D game. Because a lot of games have sort of, you know, elves and dwarves living in the same towns alongside humans, and that seems to suggest that they would, you know, that they would worship the same gods, right? If they have the same culture, why wouldn't that include the same religion? There's even a god in the Norse pantheon who is specifically the god of elves, Frey. We just talked about him in our last episode. But never mind that. Let's take a look at two examples of non-human deities from the Deities and Demigods book. These are both the deities of monster races that we've already covered. Now, let's start with bugbears. Now, you know that I love me some bugbears. They are my rowdy boys, and I'm very attached to them. Here's the thing. Hrugek, the bugbear god, is not that there's anything wrong with him? Well, let's take a look. Bugbears have a simple pantheon of six deities, including gods of earth, death, fertility, hunting, and fear. Hrugek, the god of battle, is the most powerful and important, though he doesn't rule the others. Hrugek appears as a huge, powerful bugbear with great fangs and clawed hands and feet. They do such and such an amount of damage. Collects the severed heads of his conquered opponents. Bugbear shamans worship Hrugek by offering him the blood of their enemies. Shaman status is dependent on how many opponents they have defeated. Got that? So he looks like a great big bugbear, and he likes to fight, and he likes to collect heads. So Hrugek, the god of bugbears, is exactly the bugbear god that you would create, right? He's just Buggy McBugbear, the bugbearest of bugbears. It's as if humans worshipped the mascot from Community. You know, the human being. Like, the humanest human that there ever could be. It's not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just that if you said, you've got 30 seconds, come up with a god for bugbears, he's exactly what you'd come up with. And that kind of non-human deity is a little disappointing. There's no, like I said, there's nothing wrong with Hrugek, but he's exactly what you'd expect him to be. And that's why I think, you know, he's kind of a missed opportunity. There's a little bit of a waste of potential. Because what we see with people is that our gods reflect our aspirations, they reflect our observations about the world, and also sometimes they're quite hard to predict. You know, they illuminate aspects of our culture, and they're not just what you'd think they are. I keep pointing out the ways in which Norse deities portray the complexity and variety and contradictions of Viking society rather than its stereotype. And it'd be nice to see that, although maybe when we're talking about bugbears, I'm overthinking it. So if Hrugek is an example of a C-, must work harder, or non-human deity. What about orcs? I think orcs actually get a pretty good one, and that is Grumsh, Now, Grumsh has a cool, menacing illustration. He looks rather noble in this, despite his brutish features, but he's got a stern, resolute expression. And this art is by Jeff D. You know, I associate Jeff D with a sort of comic booky style of illustration, and maybe I'm only saying that because he did Villains and Vigilantes. I don't know if he ever did any actual comic book work. There are a few TSR artists who, you know, had some comic book background. Obviously, the most famous of these is Bill Willingham, who did those comic strip D&D adverts, and of course went on to write and draw all sorts of comics, most notably Fables. Anyways, here we have Grumsh, and Grumsh appears as like a sort of great big orc with one staring eye. The orcs have many gods, but their leader is Grumsh. His name is never spoken by non-shaman orcs, who refer to him as he who watches, or he who never sleeps. Grumsh's symbol is a great unwinking eye, which represents the belief that Grumsh watches each and every orc and judges him fit or unfit. Grumsh has one large eye, he appears as a huge orcish humanoid, yada 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 yada, spear, plate mail, blah blah. The orcs say that Grumsh commands a mighty army of spirit orcs in hell, and these war continuously with a similar army of spirit goblins controlled by Maglubiat. The orcs always defeat the goblins, but the goblin spirits always reform to start the battle again. Again, I kind of know what we think of when we think of the relationship between orcs and goblins. Sort of nice. To become a shaman of Grumsh, an orc must pluck out his own left eye. The proper worship of Grumsh requires blood in large quantities, preferably blood from a human or demi-human race. Elves are best of all. Orcish shamans, blah blah blah.
I mean, remember, let's go back to our characterization of orcs as a bunch of louts. Orcs are thugs, bullies, petty and mean-spirited, not the kind of, oh, I had better stick to the right path of Grumsh. He is watching me and will judge me, and I want to earn my place among his warriors in hell kind of thing. Orcs aren't really all that metal. Hobgoblins are metal. Orcs are hard rock. But their religion's metal as hell. So we can envision orc shamans as kind of fanatics, as real hardliners that, I mean, you gotta pluck out your own eye to become one. That's hardcore. And orcs maybe kinda not being super big fans of their clergy, but sort of being frightened by them. And then imagine what happens when orcs do actually get full of religious fervor and go on some kind of Grumshian crusade to gather blood for their one-eyed staring idol. Right? That's actually pretty cool. Particularly if you're used to orcs being a bunch of dumb bandits, and then some charismatic orc shaman unites them into a crusade, and all of a sudden you have the orcs are coming to reclaim their holy land type of situation, and you know, you get to deal with a familiar foe in a new way. And that is a fantastic example of how just a little one-column entry on a non-human deity can provide scenario inspiration and put a new twist on an existing character. So that's an example of a non-human deity well done. Good old Grumsh. You know, I first became familiar with Grumsh in 3rd edition D&D, where I played a half-orc cleric of St. Cuthbert, and everyone was always trying to get me to worship Grumsh, you know, being an orc and all. And I think it's telling that Grumsh survived into 3rd edition, was quite, like, prominently featured, and not so much Hrugek. So, and as we go through the non-human deities, we'll see that some of them are, you know, are pretty good. Some of them are very detailed and, you know, give a lot of fun extra material, and some of them are just like a great big bugbear. Again, nothing wrong with a great big bugbear. I like bugbears, but I already had bugbears. They're in the monster manual. Anyway, that's my brief bonus episode on Grumsh and Hrugek. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I'm sorry that the other bonus episodes are taking longer to edit and create, but we'll keep a steady stream of bonus episodes coming, and I guarantee you that these new ones will be worth it when they arrive. Once again, thank you for listening to Patron Deities, and thank you for supporting Monster Man.